Nothing's changed. He was the best player in the draft before the season began. He's the best player in the draft when the season ended. He's the best player in the draft 2 weeks out from the draft.
Welcome to Jaguars Reporters, presented by TIAA Bank, with Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan, and J.P. Shadrick.
Jaguars Reporters,
presented by TIAA Bank, starts right now.
Time for Jaguars Reporters. Isn't it always time to hear from them?
Indeed.
Yep. Got something to say today, JP?
Well, no, not really.
Really?
It's kind of quiet.
So you're just going to sit back and relax and listen
you guys
to the
enjoy. And no, I mean, we're, what, 10 days to the draft finally?
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, there's always a little buzz, but there hasn't been a lot happening in the last couple of weeks. But now with all this NFLPA stuff, it's the offseason program. You know, we got Trevor in the news all weekend. There's a lot kind of happening.
Can you do a big, hey, this is Jaguars Reporters kind of thing to get us started?
Didn't you just do that?
Yeah, I guess I did. I just feel like we needed it this morning.
Some juice.
You know, you get close to the draft and it does start to drag. It's like, can we do this thing already? Getting real tired of it. And you're going to hear some of that over the course of this podcast this morning. Start with Jaguars this week. Virtual programs start today. Any of you get a link?
No.
Invited at all?
Sadly not. But I did walk in this morning and they're all out there in their tents getting COVID tested.
Okay.
Big day today. So yes, I think it's good news. However, I think Urban would definitely want it to be in person. So kind of halfway getting what he wants.
JP mentioned 10 days from the draft. Please. It can't come fast enough. And then, you know, this was just a matter of time. But we heard from Trevor Lawrence that he is... circling back with the Jaguars, the city of Jacksonville, and fans donating $20,000 to Jacksonville charities. So if anyone was wondering at all, if there was even the slightest chance that Urban Meyer was directing people away from what their real intentions were, he's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
This was
he's
the
coming.
First tweet that said,
absolutely.
Coming to Jacksonville.
Yeah, right. All right, let's all acknowledge the obvious. Trevor Lawrence will be here wearing number 16 a week from Thursday, or at least virtually he'll be there. I don't think we've heard enough from you yet to start.
Well, we haven't. And this is John Osher, Jaguars.com.
As if you
might have heard
any.
Of him.
There was never a doubt, but every step of the way with Trevor, I don't know if the excitement for me builds, but the comfort level that no matter what happens, he's the right fit. And the potential for coolness of this, I guess I'm, you know, tempering a little bit because I can't do cartwheels like Brian's been doing since December over this. But you just sort of feel more and more like the kid gets it. He understands how to take each step in this because there's really no precedent for... I know everybody knew that the Colts were going to draft Andrew Luck in 2011 or 12. But that was a different social media time. I don't think he had Colts fans buying him toasters. I don't know that the Colts fan base was as hungry for this to happen at the time. They were just coming off 10 years of Peyton, so they sort of assumed it. Yep. The hunger for this kid to come in, from his perspective, it's got to be a little tricky to handle, to know how to handle it right when this happened. And I think so far he seems to know how to take the right steps and how to handle everything, and I think that'll continue.
The enthusiasm is obviously there, which brings us to this, that existing season ticket members need to lock in their seats now, because soon, those who are like John, excited about Trevor Lawrence, and have already placed deposits for new season tickets, will be able to select seats. And they could select yours if you haven't renewed. You better renew today. Look for your renewal link in your email, visit jaguars.com, or dial them up at 904-633-2000. There are a team of representatives ready to help you get back in the bank in 2021.
We hear them every single day, that team of representatives.
They're
working around
working.
The clock.
They keep the lights on in this building.
Ready for big things? We'll start with you, Ash.
We will start with me. All right. So this, we all kind of have a very similar big thing this week, but it's the trending topic about the Trevor Lawrence Sports Illustrated article. And I, for one, when I read it, I didn't really think anything of it. I thought, you know, this is a really interesting perspective, unique, refreshing. You could say that he doesn't have to manufacture this chip that doesn't need to be there. Then I was watching ESPN all week and they were saying, you know, this Andrew Luck comparison on the field, that's awesome. That's a huge compliment. But the Andrew Luck comparison with this article that he could step away from the game of football. GMs beware that Trevor Lawrence could just step away. That's a really unfair comparison in my book, because you look at Andrew Luck's injury history, that is a big proponent of why he stepped away from the game. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have that injury history. I just thought the whole thing was so overplayed and so unfair to compare Trevor Lawrence to Andrew Luck when that injury history is the reason Andrew Luck stepped away from the game.
Well, a couple of thoughts. First of all, even if you knew Trevor Lawrence was going to step away when Andrew Luck stepped away, you'd still take it as
yes,
number one overall pick.
Yes, you would. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't know if you do cartwheels, but you would walk away knowing you made a good pick. What was it, 4 playoff appearances? He was almost MVP 1 year. I mean, he was, you know.
That hasn't happened here ever.
Not well.
Lately.
No, I'll Google it. But,
you know, might want to check into that.
I don't recall.
Look, this is also sort of, I'll go ahead and say my big thing, because this is sort of the same thing. It pretty much goes without saying that the worry about Trevor's desire is about the stupidest pre-draft stuff ever in Jacksonville.
And you might as well say yours, because you all are kind of on this theme.
Yeah, I mean, I switched mine out because it was kind of the
oh,
same
you did.
Thing.
All right,
because
we'll stay
it
with
was,
yours, John.
It, because it was, you know, everybody needs something at this point with 10 days to go.
Right.
To discuss, talk about, well, and controversy brings instant clicks and all that stuff. That's the new era of Twitter.
Can I just look, if that is how Trevor Lawrence approaches the game of football, I'm all in, because his results speak for him, right? And I appreciate someone in this day and age especially who will tell anybody his truth. And his truth is that his faith and his family take a bigger place in his life. And I imagine it does for all of you and for most of the people who are listening today. But he's willing to step up and say it. Look, the guy has achieved, and I'm guessing he hasn't changed. I read the article, and the article had a conversation with his high school coach where he recalled the story of Trevor coming in as a freshman saying, I just want to be the best that's ever done it. All right, enough for me.
That's a goal.
Right?
Yeah.
Enough. I've seen that sort of progress through his career at Clemson. Give me a break.
I mean, can the internet just shut up for a while?
This is why I
no. can't.
This is why I don't
can't.
Have Twitter.
Right.
Because I don't want to read. I just can't get caught up in this stuff. This kid, even if he did, as you said, you would take him in a heartbeat.
Well, and Ashlyn's right.
Yes, I am.
One guy's story is not necessarily another guy's story.
No.
And it's gotten to the point now where if you can't say anything. If he had said, football is my entire life, I can't live without it. If I don't win the Super Bowl in my first year,
I'm
leaving my wife and throwing myself off a bridge, somebody would have criticized that.
Yeah.
So you can't say anything. All he did was try to be honest. His father tried to be honest, and they got burned for it. I guess in a sense, welcome to the NFL, because that's what happens, and welcome to Twitter, because that's what happens. But everything was so picked apart in this. I'm with you guys. After reading this, I was more excited about Trevor Lawrence coming here, because it sounds like he has perspective. It sounds like he has a maturity coming into this thing that, frankly, a lot of young quarterbacks don't have. He could have easily gotten away with just saying the cliche of "grrr," but he has. It sounds like he has more to him than that, and I like that.
You know, and you may have experienced this too, JP, because I know you do a lot of speaking engagements. I get out into a room, you know, whether it's a Rotary Club or a charity gala on a Saturday night, and everybody wants to talk football, right? They know you're there from the Jaguars, and that's easy. That's what we do. But there's always someone that says, "I really don't. I'm not a Jaguars fan. I'm not a football fan. I don't really care about sports." Well, that's the person I'm drawn to. Tell me something about you then, right? Because we do this for a living. Trevor does this for a living. You encounter someone who has a different background, who has something else that lights their fire. Well, tell me about you. What do you like? That, to me, is refreshing. It's the all football, all the time, and it grates on you no matter where they are. You just can't take it. So for him, he's showing you that he has got a big picture perspective, which you appreciate that when you come in and pay him, because he's going to be able to put everything in perspective and not burn out.
Mm-hmm. Just a very unique guy, it seems to be. When he said that he listened to Casey Musgraves before his pro day, it's like, this is a different guy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I couldn't even tell you one Casey Musgraves song. I'll be
She's like very folksy, like you'd hear her in Starbucks. Like it is not something at all I would picture listening to before pro day.
You know, one last thought on this, then I'll give you my big thing. I remember I was a year or two into this, and you guys know Vic Ketchman, and you met him when he was here. Mm-hmm. He said something to me. I was young, and I didn't really get it at the moment. It kind of went off the top of my head. But he said, people who don't care have the greatest advantage in life. And I went, what's that? And he goes, they don't care. Trevor Lawrence doesn't care whether or not you think he should be the most football-centered person on earth. He doesn't care. He shouldn't care. Look what he's achieved by not worrying about what others think of what he says about his faith or football or his family. He doesn't care. He shouldn't care.
Jaguars fans have been waiting for years to get somebody who's different, who's theirs. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they're going to get it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, here's mine. Look, there's going to be a top-notch defensive player at 25 and at 33, and I don't think the Jaguars should hesitate to take them at both spots if that's the case. And I know that there's this desire to just wrap Trevor Lawrence in weapons, but I'm telling you, you cannot pass on value, which has been a word we've talked about on this show a lot this year. But when you have up to five quarterbacks who could go in the top 12 picks, you've got two offensive tackles, you've got a tight end, if that's what you want to call him, a big receiver, and three other receivers who could go there, it's going to push some players down the board. There's an injury to Caleb Farley, right? Now, apparently he checked out clean. This guy's Jalen Ramsey. He's long, he's fast, he's tall, he's hyper-competitive. What if he slides down the board because of concerns, but your doctors have no issue? Oh, bang. I mean, that's value. Christian Barmore is the best defensive tackle in the draft, but it's not a good draft for defensive tackles. He could slide down the board. Zaven Collins could slide to that position from about 15 to 25. Jason, is it Owa? The pass rusher from Penn State is climbing. People I talk to say there is excitement about this guy because he's got sort of a Javon Kearse-like body. You know, long, 6'6", and he's an explosive edge rusher who can bend. There's a bunch of these guys. You're going to find yourself in a position where there will probably be, and maybe Trevor Moehrig slides there, although all I keep hearing is that this is a guy who's going to go between 15 and 20 because teams aren't going to pass on the best safety in the draft at a position that's so important. At 25 and 33, if the best players on the board are defense, take them.
Explosive running back and tight end.
Wow.
I'm going the other way. 40 burgers. We want to score. We want to outscore people. I'm with you. I don't think they're both defensive picks. I don't think you have to narrow it in that both have to be defensive picks because you did a lot of defensive work in free agency.
I'm not saying they have to be. I'm just saying don't be scared to be because right. So many people think it has to be offense.
Well, it kind of has to be offense because we haven't had much offense around here in a long time.
But look at the run defense last year, too.
You just
need so many things. You can make a case for both sides, and both are very legitimate.
Yeah, I still continue to look at the first six picks more than I do the first three. I understand Brian's take is about 25 and 33. I think they're going to wind up taking two speed guys because they didn't address explosiveness as much in free agency as I think they eventually will. And then I think you go tight end, probably offensive tackle, and a defensive tackle somewhere in those first six. And I think that's what you'll see the formula. How it comes out, I'm not sure. Wouldn't surprise me if you see one defensive guy in that 25-33. It just feels like they're going to get somebody high up who's elite level who can score touchdowns.
Yeah, we'll find out. I guess my point is that this is year one for Urban and Trent, who are coming off of a 1-15 season. You can't afford to pass on great players no matter where they are. And if at 25 and at 33, the best player on the board is someone who gives you a long-term solution on defense, I wouldn't pass that up. All right, that'll do it for Big Things. Time now for Did You Hear This? And you caught up with a guy who's been around Jaguars.com for years, John, Tony Pauline.
Yeah, and he was interesting in the sense that I asked him, because how many more questions can you ask about Trevor? You know, I didn't ask him about you know, all the stuff off the field. I didn't ask him about that. But I said, give me something that is interesting that we don't already know about Trevor Lawrence. Something that maybe you haven't heard anywhere. And he kind of laughed, but his response was, the Jaguars are fortunate. They have the number one pick in a year where not only is a quarterback there to take, but he's legitimately the best player in the draft. And that's an important distinction because you've had drafts where, say, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff have gone number one, but there were serious questions about if this were a different year, would this be the top guy taken? If he weren't a quarterback, would he be the top guy taken? Well, in this draft, the Jaguars need a quarterback, they need a franchise guy, and they also happen to have a guy who is not only the best out of this draft, but maybe the best in 5 or 6 years. Some we've heard before, but it's interesting to step back and remember that this is not a normal year. This is special.
He's the best player in the draft. And, right. You know, as I predicted in January, what you were going to start to see is people start to poke holes in his game that didn't exist. You know, Zach Wilson played better in 2020. Well, I don't think Zach Wilson played better. I think Zach Wilson is a good quarterback who just played against inferior competition. Now you're hearing Kyle Pitts is the best player in the draft because of his, you know, his workout. I don't think Kyle Pitts is the best player in the draft. Kyle Pitts is a very good player. He's a great prospect. He's a sensational athlete. But Trevor Lawrence is still head and shoulders ahead of Kyle Pitts, ahead of everybody else. It doesn't come close. So there's really, you're going to have to stretch to manufacture problems in Trevor Lawrence's game on and off the field. You know, as we spoke about during the Senior Bowl, the guy is a great leader. I mean, he did not have great talent around him this year at Clemson. He had basically mediocre receivers, did have Travis Etienne. You know, that has to be pointed out. He lost 4/5 of his offensive line from 2019, yet he led that. And even when he missed games because of COVID, he led that team into the semifinals. You look at his off the field leadership. I mean, the fact of the matter is this, a lot of the fact that we had a 2020 college football season, in my belief, is down to the leadership that Trevor Lawrence showed. Because when the conferences, the Big Ten, the Mountain West, the Pac-12 were canceling seasons, postponing seasons, Trevor Lawrence, along with a few other players, but primarily Trevor Lawrence, stepped to the forefront and said, let us play. We want to play. He got his face out there and was the public figure, said, we want to get on the football field and play. So, and there were other issues with Trevor Lawrence where he took a leadership role. So to me, my take is when everyone's trying to poke holes in his game and say, well, Zach Wilson played better in 2019, Kyle Pitts is the best player in the draft. My take is nothing's changed. He was the best player in the draft before the season began. He's the best player in the draft when the season ended. He's the best player in the draft 2 weeks out from the draft.
Is there anything anybody on our panel wants to know about Trevor they don't already know? What's the first question you're going to ask him if you get an interview with him?
About time, right?
Right.
Probably be my question to Trevor, right? I mean, we've been waiting on this for a while. Yeah. Is it everything you hope for and more? And I'm sure he'll say, yeah, we don't know yet, but
right,
we're fired up to be here.
I want to know if he sees the fit with Jacksonville. Southern boy, right, played at Clemson. Again, strong in his faith, and this is a community that appreciates that. Just look at the affinity for Tim Tebow. I want to know if he sees Jacksonville, and if he saw Jacksonville early on as a place where his personality and the things that are important to him fit.
Yep. I want to ask him, when that whole Jets-Jags thing was going down, how closely were you watching? And everyone was saying you're a big city guy. Doesn't seem to be.
All right.
I think he would be wherever he was and be just fine. He's that kind of guy, I think.
He'd make
it work.
I don't
know him at all, but
yeah.
You'll figure it out wherever you're selected. I think he's a guy who could figure out how to manage it.
I think he transcends this thing. Yeah, I think exactly. JB's right. No matter where he went, he was going to be fine. And I think a lot of it is to do with Sports Illustrated stuff. He's going to walk his own walk, it seems, no matter where he is. And I'm telling you, I've dealt with quarterbacks before. The perspective on that is so key to them making it.
Yeah.
And it's important.
All right, moving on. Everybody asks, and I'll ask to start, would you rather cover, and I chose sporting events that are here at this time of the year. The NBA playoffs are about to begin. The Kentucky Derby kicks off the Triple Crown, and I've spent a little time around horse racing. Or the NFL draft, or the Masters for that matter. I mean, of all the sporting events that come in April and early May, would you rather cover any of the other ones or the draft?
The NBA playoffs to me seem a grind. The best event I've ever covered is when I got a chance to cover the University of Florida's run to the Final Four in 94, because there's something magical about an NCAA tournament run, especially if it's unexpected. And the Gators that year were not expected to do anything. It was Lon Kruger, pre-Billy Donovan. The energy around that I don't think the NBA playoffs, because it's a best of seven, would match that. So within the context of this question, I'll say the Masters, because when I was at the Times Union Forever, I kind of thought I might someday get a chance to cover that, and I kind of missed on it, and I think that'd be cool. I would like, and I think JP can speak to this, wants to be in the Derby infield. I wouldn't necessarily like to cover it, but to be to see that once. I may have missed my window on when I'd really enjoy that. But
you can always go back, John.
But that would be cool, because I've heard it's just chaos.
And it's funny, I've never been to the Derby. I love watching horse racing. I'm not great at betting on horse racing. I've never really been around horse racing. It is a different environment, just the ownership stakes and the people behind the scenes. You kind of really have to be in the know there to get an idea of what's going on. I've never really been around it that much. I've always wanted to go to that event. I have a collection of the mint julep glasses. Ashwin actually brought me one back one year from the Derby that I have in my kitchen. I don't know why, but I've got a collection of about 20 of these things.
That's right. Ashlyn has been to the Derby.
Yeah.
There was a big box that was delivered, just to set up her story. A big box, really big box. I'm not sure it fit through the door without turning it up on its end. And I said to her, "What is that?" And she said, "It's my hat." and I said, "Your hat? Right?"
Yes, I forgot about that. Yes, I used TIA Bank as my post office for a good amount of time. So yes, my hat was delivered here.
I
will say, it was a really, really cool event, but everyone told me you go, you experience it, it's awesome, but you feel like you've done it and you don't need to do it again. And I think that would be the thing of covering it. You do it, you check it off your list, you don't feel like you need to cover it every single year.
Here's what I love about the draft. It's 32 teams. You focus on yours, obviously, but there's so many stories, so many individual stories. And because you're not dealing with horses, right? I mean, you're getting the story from them as they go through the draft process. I just like the humanity of the draft, because it really is people putting themselves out there saying, here's who I am. And now more than ever, right? With the personality inventories and all the community work and how they dig into people, people put themselves out there. I mean, if you've ever were the kid that was, you know, waiting to be picked to play kickball and were taken last, you know how vulnerable that makes you feel, right?
Boy, do I.
Me too. I kind of like the humanity of people putting themselves out and saying, where am I going?
Yep.
You know, how many times have you seen in your career the guy who was in the green room and was there the next day and then was still there?
Like Juwan Taylor. Remember that?
You just felt horrible.
Sitting there with his family. Yeah.
But there were stronger cases of guys who were really supposed to be taken high that they're just still sitting there. Day two, right? I think Miles Jack was there.
Yeah.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
So it's the drama of it is what I really enjoy.
You know, you mentioned the Masters, and that's one I left out. I've never been to the Masters either. And I feel like, you know, covering the very few times the TPC here at the Players' Championship, like a lot of covering golf, you're sitting in the media center, right? You go out on the course some, but you're still going back to write or going back to do what you do or go back to file a report or whatever it is inside. So, but now, you know, Augusta National's first class all the way around, from what I understand. So that would be one to go and check off the list and go cover one time. Again, I've never really covered golf regularly. And it's one of those two, John, you know this, like, those guys that cover golf have covered golf for a long, long time, and they know how to get inside tracks to information and people and who you talk to and why and at what time. And if you're new to that, it's really tough to really crack into it.
Yeah, I covered 11, 12, I don't have any Players' Championships at the paper, and it's a different it is certainly a different sport to cover. Yeah. And at the time I covered it, it was a little trickier than it is now, is my understanding, but it's a lot about contacts.
All right. John, you're up next.
This is a little bit of a sarcastic question, but I think there are answers to it. What's your most memorable off-season OTA moment since covering the Jaguars? Because we may not get that sort of moment this year. It's still sort of unknown whether we're going to be on the field or not, whether that's going to be a thing. But there are some.
Yep.
So, Brian, what's your first
minute of the first OTA every year? Because it's like, all right, we're back to football. And then it's like, okay, they're running around in shorts. And it's tough to be able to tell whether the offensive linemen are any good or whether the defensive linemen are, you know, more explosive. You just can't tell. You can tell whether the quarterback has a sharp arm right? And who's gotten bigger? The first minute, though, of the first OT every year, it's like we're back. Football is back. Awesome.
Mine would be one of two things. The rookie mini camp day when Blake Bortles was here. There were like 8,000 people here for practice. So the line was around the stadium, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. So they had to put people on the side of the practice field and watch that. That was really, really neat. The other might be the paintball trip in 2012. I'm kidding, of course. The on OTA number 10.
Yeah.
The team bonding didn't really work out that year in OTA 10.
A lot of bonded team.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Yikes. Yikes. I'm going to go off-season moment. I will always remember Nick Foles arriving here that day. That was when the helicopter – JP did a – and Brian did a live recap of following the helicopter. And I don't think many people in football can put that on their resume, that they have done that. Yeah. That was an insane day.
We might not either, but
that's – And for all that was, by the way, for all that was, this is bigger. Trevor Lawrence arriving
for sure.
is so much bigger.
Yeah.
I would go with – because I asked the question. And – it speaks a little bit to why this is an interesting topic with players not coming in. I know a big part of this is that with COVID, there also seems to be an underpinning of players sort of pushing back on the off season in general. But I would go with two things. JP's memory is exactly right. The excitement that one of those things can have. Then the very next year, Dante Fowler getting hurt on his first one. Yeah. So there's been some memorable moments around here. And I think that sort of speaks to both a little bit of, you know, this year I have a hard time saying that there shouldn't be an off season because of how important it is to these guys getting on the field, getting on the same page, Trevor Lawrence, et cetera. But I also kind of get from a player's perspective, you know, do we need to be putting ourselves at risk for this? I personally think for young players, even such as Fowler back then, done correctly, the reward out of that is overall worth the risk for young players, but those are my memories.
You know, I was standing right there with Dan Edwards, right in front of Fowler, and he just had an arm out with contact with the tackle. I mean, he wouldn't even plant it. I mean, those things happen.
Sure.
They can happen in any walk of life. I can remember Tom McManus tearing his ACL, and he was just running out to practice with the Buccaneers in 1997. It wasn't even in a drill. I mean,
some things you can't avoid.
Just you can't do much about it. So, all right, JP, you're next.
I am next. How excited do you think Urban is to finally get to meet with the team, as virtual as it is? We've been hearing about this all off season. He's excited to get his message out there. We've heard part of the messaging, but now you can have virtual meetings. Ashlyn, I don't know if there's a rating scale or anything you can put
you can
a number
do one
on. 1 to 10, what number is Urban right now?
He's a 7. And I say he's a 7. I was listening to the Michael Urban podcast, which Urban Meyer was on. It was a very good listen. You guys should tune in. But he was taking notes, and I think this was last Wednesday he was on the podcast, and he was taking notes of what he was going to say to the team today. And it was interesting to hear his input of how long he has worked on getting this first team meeting, the messaging crystal clear. But with that said, he was like, I would really like it to be in person. And instead, it's going to be virtual. So I'm going to go 7. He's excited, but not exactly what he wants.
Not fulfilled all the way. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The message is important and the speech is important. But every time I've listened or had a chance to talk to Urban about that, the overwhelming feeling you get is that as important as that speech is, what he wants is for these guys to be together, for these guys to have the coaches walking down the hallway, able to grab a guy and say, hey, here's what we did. I think when he is talking about building culture, which he's talked about many, many times, I think he's certainly talking about more than this one virtual meeting. He wants these guys together. So I think 7 is exactly right, Ash.
I don't think I can add anything to that other than to say, has anyone ever told him we have a podcast?
We should tell him.
Yeah, we might want to tell him that. Just let him know.
Yeah.
All right.
It was very cool because Michael Urban was just sharing stories back and forth. It was like they were just having this conversation of the good old days. So it was a cool listen.
Like to get him in here.
Yeah.
All right. Wrap us up.
All right. So last night I watched the Alex Smith documentary on ESPN. I've never seen it before. It came out a couple years ago, but I'd never seen it. And in that Michael Irvin podcast, Urban Meyer is very clear of why he wanted to bring Alex Smith in here. He said, I want him in a Jaguars uniform, and things didn't work out. And Urban was saying, I didn't realize the extent of what Alex Smith went through until I watched this documentary. And it was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. I knew the story, but when you see what his leg looked like in this documentary, it puts things into perspective. So my question is, Alex Smith, it's obvious he wants to be a starter and go live this dream, and that's awesome. I think he should do that. Say 2 to 3 years, is Alex Smith ever in a Jaguars uniform? JP?
No. Because if the reasoning behind it, that what we read this week, you know, the medical personnel said it's not right, well, he's going to be how old in 3 years from now?
Yeah, 38.
38 with a leg that's questionable, and now he's 36 with a leg that's questionable. If it's a no now, I think it's certainly a no 2 or 3 years from now. So I think that window, though it might have been open in this offseason and might have been a great person to have around, if he's in a uniform, I don't think he'll be here. Maybe it's another capacity if he decides to hang it up or whatever down the road. I don't know how that would work. But I don't think he'll ever be in a Jaguar uniform.
No, I don't think so. I think now would be the time that you'd be able to close that deal. You know, the age there, and obviously you hope he never has to play because you're bringing in Trevor Lawrence. Now would be the time if you're going to do it, and if you don't feel like you can work within the bounds of a contract with his previous injury. I mean, the hard part for him was he had a contract with the Redskins, and the Redskins knew everything about it. Now a lot of teams are going to look at the same medical stuff and say, I'm not sure we want to take on the risk of this being a problem that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. No, huge financial risk. I totally get that.
And a huge risk of, is he going to be available for what we sign him for? Because what you would want in a guy like this is if, God forbid, Trevor wasn't available for a certain amount of time, a reason you bring in Smith isn't just because of leadership. It's because you want him on the field, and there would be the worry of, can it hold up? As it get, you know, it held up with the Skins or the Washington football team last year because it was a short period of time, but there was always uncertainty about it. You know, do you bring in that risk? As much as it's a heartwarming story, there's still an element of the NFL where you have to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And realistically, that's a tough ask.
And by the way, he turns 37 on May 7th.
It's almost his birthday.
So here we go. Happy early birthday. But my answer is still no.
Dang. Tough crowd. All right.
But that means
fine.
In 3 years, he's 40.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're talking about.
Fine. I guess.
Tough one there.
Ashlyn, I think, was leaning towards yes.
I'm telling you, after the documentary, I'm rooting for the guy. It was awesome.
I think we all were because we like his story, the way he fought back, everything. But it's just the business.
Well, and it makes sense. I mean, it fits.
Well, also, she's saying fit. 2 or 3 years down the road, I'm not sure at that point, I don't know that the dynamic is just Trevor Lawrence and veteran guy. Yeah. The dynamic becomes Trevor Lawrence and affordable backup rookie guy.
Yeah. That's fair. So, does he need the veteran presence in 2 years?
Right.
Yeah.
Does he need it now?
Great question.
We'll find out. All right. Next week is draft week.
Wahoo!
Maybe we'll switch things up a little bit. Do a little mock draft. Went through the first round.
That will mock this mock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's every day there is a new mock draft on every stinking website. It's unbelievable. And yet, people's hunger for the event is so intense that they can't back away from
it. You can track all those mock drafts on Jaguars.com. John Osher has a mock draft tracker every week.
I know him.
That's me.
And that's our show.